We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Good afternoon and praise the Lord. Now it's time to take time for Jesus. There's a lot of people taking time out for everything else, but not too many is taking time out to give God praise and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Closing the doors on many churches that on Sunday afternoon and not having the worship service and the gathering together, as the scripture says, that we should gather together. And failing to do these things, we're not worshiping God in the spirit of truth as He would have us to do, because He wants us to gather in His name and to give praise and honor unto Him, King of kings and Lord of lords, and to lift up the name of Jesus and give Him praise and honor, not forsaking the assembling together. We get to the point that wherein the devil has introduced all these things in the world to attract the flesh, and God has been said we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship God in the flesh. We're going to have the actually the Word of God to feed us upon Him, that He be, as He said, that He came down of heaven, the true bread came down of from heaven, that whereby that we may eat thereof and not die. My friend, we need the Word of God, the written letters from that God had the apostles of the old and the prophets to bring to us and write unto us the ways of the gospel, and the way into God's kingdom is through Jesus Christ. We cannot get there any other way. Ball games and soccer games and all these things is not going to get it. And when we take time to do all these things and put God on the back burner, no wonder we're having the troubles that across the land that we're having today is because that people have almost but forgotten God and His sovereignty, and they rely upon the arm of flesh and our government to support them and meet all their needs when God said He would meet our needs. And my friend, today I experience the need that God has met my every need, spiritually, physically, and financially. It's not to say that I wanted everything, but He has met my needs. And there's been a few times in my younger days that I missed a few meals, but it didn't hurt me none. But it's time that we begin to miss a few meals of the table meals and begin to feast upon the Word of God, on the bread of life, that whereby that we can have life and have it more abundantly. My friend, it's time that we take time out of all of our daily activities and the things at which the enemy of our soul has brought into this world through all kinds of devices and one thing or another. It's time we laid this stuff aside and get prepared for the coming of our Lord and our Savior, and begin to seek after the kingdom of God with all of our heart, and give praise and honor unto Him. But I just want to emphasize, read your Bible, study the Word of God. We can't do it too much. We don't really do it enough, but we need to study the Word of God. We can see that these things that are happening around the world, and such as the tragedies that have happened, explosions, earthquakes, and all these things, it's all in the Word of God. And we know that he tells us that these times is coming upon us, and we know that the time is short. We don't know the day or the hour, but time is running out, my friend. So we need to get in tune with God and give Him praise and honor and take time for Jesus, getting on track with Him and worshiping Him in spirit of truth. And while we go to the Lord in prayer, pray with us as we pray one for another, that God would enlighten us and help us, that we would be led by the Spirit and not after the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, but after the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost would lead and direct us into the path of righteousness for His name's sake, that when all things come about, as it's going to come, whether you or I one like it or not, these things is going to be a part of the end time, and we are living in those last days. And so we need to realize we need to get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray and seek the kingdom of God. and seek after His will and not our own. So as we pray, let's pray one for another. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for this opportunity to come before You, to lift up Your holy name and give honor and glory unto Thee in praise and worship. We realize that the days are getting perilous times. We never know from one day to the next what's going to transpire. But we do know that Your word tells us that we need to look up and rejoice when we see these things coming to pass, for the redemption draweth nigh. I rejoice in my soul, in my spirit, Lord, to know that the time is getting short. But I regret that the times that people are shunning away from You, they are forsaking the assembling together. I don't like to see that, but Lord, I know that these things are to be according to Your will, because You said that there would come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed before Your coming of the Lord. So we look to Thee, O Lord, for the author and the finisher of our faith. We look for leading of the Spirit. We look for to Thee to direct our path and keep us, Lord, by Your grace and in the will of Your the Father in heaven, that Your name be glorified and lifted up. It's our desire of our heart and to do these things and win as many souls for Thee and for Thy kingdom that would possibly come into You, that the Spirit of God may draw unto Thee and bring them forth as wheat for Thy storehouse, as the sheep of Your pasture. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for all things. We give You praise in all things. And we thank You for that Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, that we can feel deep within our very essence of our life, that we know that You're real and the reality of serving You will bring us to that place that You said that You have prepared for us. So, Lord, we just pray for those that are out there, those that have wrote to us, those that have helped us, those that are down and out. And we just pray, God, that through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost would lift them up, that their heads may look up and know that the time is getting short. We need to praise and worship You and give You the glory and honor. And they would be lifted up and there in the presence of the Lord God of glory, and that they would be sustained in the knowing that the truth, it will set them free, and they would come unto Thee before it's too late. We praise You and we thank You for all things. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Here's my wife now. She's got something other for you here. So.
Well, praise the Lord. I just am blessed this afternoon to be able to bring you what the Lord has laid on my heart this week. I've read so many things, and I think, well, this is what I'm going to do, and then it just seems like it comes something else. But we just thank the Lord again for this opportunity that we can bring you what the Lord has laid on our heart, and we pray that something will be said that will get you to thinking about the Word of God and everything. Our goal is to reach lost souls and to help increase your faith in the Lord. And we need to pray that God will get our nation back to Him. He was founded, God's principles was founded, this country founded on God's principles, and they believed in God, and they worshiped God, and they put their trust in God. But we are a nation right now where they're pushing God out. Things happen and they say, where was God when all this happened? Let me tell you something. He's right where you put Him. He's out of it. But there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Until we get a nation back to God, God is more or less just taking His hands off of us. And I'm just pray every day, Lord, whatever it takes to bring this nation back to You, I just pray, God, that Your will be done and we will get back to a praying nation. Whatever it takes, if it takes earthquakes, if it takes storms, if it takes whatever it takes, God, bring us back to You. We're at the end time. And a lot of people don't believe it. They think, oh, well, we got 1,000 years yet to go. But let me tell you something. Time is running short. As it was back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah and all that, where sin was running rampant, and God is getting tired of it, and he's going to say, I'm tired of it, I'm going to wipe them out. But the Lord has laid on my heart this week forgiveness. I don't know if someone out there needs to forgive somebody, but I guess a lot of times we all do. But the name of this is forgiveness, and it's impossible to understand how Jesus could pray for executioners to be forgiven in Luke 23 and 34. We often try to make excuses for unforgiving hearts by arguing that we're in the flesh and that Jesus was God. But Jesus calls us to follow his examples of forgiveness. If we don't forgive in this life, we will not be forgiven in the life to come. Putting into practice the principles of the Bible is not easy as long as we're in the flesh. For instance, it's hard to pray to God to forgive those who humiliate, belittle, and mentally and spiritually abuse us. However, God's word is very clear. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you in Matthew 5 and 44. As we look to the Lord in prayer, we can be spirit-enabled to put into practice his most difficult principles. Think of someone who you have harbored a bitter spirit to. As you think about your feelings for that person or persons, pray for them. Lord, flood my heart with compassion. Take away my unforgiving spirit and put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Help me to live peaceably with all men. If all Christians did that, what a change it would make in our life. We could make a difference in our hate-filled world. People are watching and listening to us. Are we setting a good example to our family and friends and to those around us? Do we harbor hate, discontent? Can the world see Jesus in you, or do they see someone else? The Bible says in Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse, you are the light of the world. A city that is held set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put a light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine so that before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And our life before others should be a life that shows forth Christ's life in us. To finish the verse in Galatians 2 and 20, Paul wrote, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As we have exchanged our life for the life of Christ, we present him to the world through the life that he lives in us. This sounds simple, but it's the very reason that Paul wrote, I die daily. In ourselves, we've been drawn to others by our charm and our charisma and our wit and all characteristics that make people want to be around us. But until we have Christ alive in us, we will not create in others a thirst for him. A well-known poem expresses that, and I'm going to read it here for you. But before that, salt is something that makes people thirsty. So is your life making people thirsty for Christ, or is it blanch? Are you letting your salty life make people want to know the Christ that you are trying to portray to them? But here's a little poem that some people can learn from sermons they hear, and some read their scriptures through, but for most here below, all the Bible they know is the gospel according to you. Your life is a book on which people look. Each day is a page that you turn. Is Jesus revealed or is he concealed? What is the lesson that they learn? So be careful, my friend, at the things that you say, and be kind in the things that you do. For most here below, all the Bible they know is the gospel according to you. And we are self-supporting, and if you would like to help us, it would be very much appreciated. We're trying to go on faith, and so far, God has been blessed us, and we've given up a lot of our things that we used to do, going out to eat, things like that. We go to the grocery store and cook at home, but God is blessing us, and if you would like to help us, you can write to us at Take Time for Jesus, P.I. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. But more than that, we'd appreciate it very much if you would email us. And our email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com or ecompton31@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook now, so if you want to go in and let us know what you think and everything, or what you want to share with others, that's fine. You can do that at sallygcp4@yahoo.com. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We pray that today's message will be a blessing to you, and may God bless you and yours in this life. And we're all looking forward to the day whenever Jesus comes back, takes us home with him, and we'll be out of all this corrupt world. May Jesus bless you, and Jesus, we love you, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Yes, you know, a lot of times people think that God should protect any and everybody, and they often say, where was God when these tragedies happened? God, as my wife said, that God is where you put him. If you put him on the back burner, then that's where he's at. But if you've got him in your heart and your life, he said he would protect us. He'd raise a standard up against these evil times and as a flood, when the devil comes in as a flood. But my friend, you've put him on the back burner. We've run him out of our schools. We've run him out of a lot of churches. It's gone circular, and they have all kinds of things going on in the place, like they did when Jesus drove all the money changers and all those people out of the synagogue there and said, my house is not, you made it a den of thieves, but my house is a house of prayer. My friend, when you forsake the assembling together, you're disobeying God, because he said, forsake not the assembling together. And it's going to come a time when we're going to be assembled before the Almighty God. Whether you want to be there or not, we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of God. And if you got your sins under the blood, and you've been washed white than snow with the blood of Jesus, and your sins have cast away from you, then you may not appear in that white throne judgment of God. But if you stand before him and your name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's going to be too bad, too sad, and slow walking, and destruction will come upon you. My friend, today we need life. We need it more abundantly. And the only way that I know that we're going to have that is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said we could. If we would trust in him, he would supply and meet our needs. The first need that you and I and all others it needs is salvation for the soul, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we need salvation. God sent his only begotten Son into this world for that purpose, to save the world, but people have rejected him. They've looked at other things. They've allowed the God of this world, the devil himself, to bring in all these things that distract the people and cause the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eye to come and lean upon the arm of flesh instead of upon the arm of righteousness of God. And they've been tormented. My friend, these tribulation times that we're in is not just a coincidence. The Bible speaks about it. If you'd read your Bible and look into Matthew, he tells them there that these things there. When the apostles come up there to him and asked him, when would these things be? And he told them about the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. It happened in 70 A.D. And all these things are being fulfilled. Even the Joel said, in the last days that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters, the old men and the young men, But my friend, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached the gospel to him, and he told him to repent, that was the time that the Spirit of God was poured out upon the people of that day, and it's come to pass even in our day, to them that will trust in the Lord and receive it. It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that abideth with us. And if he don't abide in you, and all the corruption of this world does, you're going to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, the apostles wanted to know when the day was coming. He said, it's not given unto you to know. In other words, it's just for the Father. He's the only one that knows. And when he says that's it, as he did in the days of Noah, he gave grace to Noah and his family simply because he was a man of righteousness. But all the others there that was drowned in the flood, there was no hereafter. The only time that they came to be is when Noah and the ark landed up on the Mount Ararat there, and he came forth, and then sin engulfed. The devil didn't drown. The spirit of the devil entered into the people of that day. And then Sodom and Gomorrah, that spirit didn't die, but it's entered into the people of this day. In Noah's time, there was sin going on, all kinds of things. People doing all kinds of things, as they're doing today. Bombing the marathons and one thing or another, creating havoc all over the world. We've got the earthquakes coming along here in China, where all these people are destroyed through an earthquake, and other places that they've come to pass. My friend, read your word. Don't take a man's word for it that sits in behind a secret place. You get into your closet presently with God and pray to him and let him guide you and direct you, not some earthly person. I can't save you, my friend. I can pray with you and pray for you and everything, but I can't save you. No other man can. Understand that no man can save you except Jesus Christ, because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the one that can brought forth salvation into the world through the death on the cross, through the sinners of that world at that time crucified him. Supposed to have been religious people, hollered out, Hosanna, Hosanna, the day he rode into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass. They wanted to deliver him then, but a few days after that, they was hollering, crucify him. They're doing the same thing today. They want the blessings of God, but yet they want to do it in their own way, and to God, they do their own thing, and God to bless them with it and everything, in their sins. And he's not going to do it, my friend. The time is coming. There, the fulfillment is upon us. It's not just started fixing to start today or tomorrow. It's been going on for some time. We hear the wars and the rumors of wars. We hear earthquakes in diverse places. All these things is coming upon us, and it's tribulation time. The church is not going to escape the tribulation. It's going to go through some crucial times. My friend, no matter what you've been told, read your Bible and you'll find out that Jesus made mention about in Matthew, the 29th chapter. He said, immediately after the tribulations of those days shall they see the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. My friend, so the church is going to suffer some persecution. It's going to come from these people that the government is upholding in their follies and in their sins and everything, and passing laws that they can do as they please, and causing the people, the taxpayer, to substand them in these things. And it's going to come to pass that God's going to look down upon this nation one day, and he's going to get sick, and it's going to come, but there'll be a stink in his nostrils. And not that he's not looking, but my friend, it's going to come up as a stink in his nostrils like Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah came along, and he's going to stomp it out. He's going to bring forth the end of it all. He's going to bring it ahead, but before he brings that final blow to the things of the God of this world and all them, he's going to take his people that have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, calling upon his name and received of his Spirit, that they will be taken out. The bride of Christ will be taken out, received of him in the clouds of glory. The Bible says that every knee's going to see him and every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. My friend, it's time that we begin to realize that we need to get down to business with God and put the prayer so strong up there into the White House that that bunch of crooks that we got up there will begin to feel some results from God shaking them, and they'll get their act together and go to doing things that's pleasing to God instead of just whatever they some organization full of sin and hatred for God and his ways and everything. It forces them to, they claim they force them to do it, but the majority rules. My friend, that God's going to come in one of these days and he's going to smite them down to the very bottom of it and cast them all into hell, them that fail to praise and to worship God, whose name's not on the Lamb's Book of Life. How about you? Have you called upon the name of the Lord today? Have you thought about to thank him for his blessings that he has blessed you with and given you peace, given you a day that you didn't have to suffer laying in the hospital, that you wasn't in the midst of some outrageous crime that somebody committed and brought forth destruction upon some of our younger people when they're out there trying to do something good for somebody else and some evil-minded, devil-possessed person comes and blows them up or does something else, shoots them all up and everything with automatic weapons and one thing or another. My friend, it's time we begin to call upon the name of the Lord. The time has begun. We need to turn back from our wicked ways and turn unto the Lord and calling upon him, praying and asking him to forgive us. Daniel did when he seen that the 70-year period that Jeremiah said that they was going to go into captive. The false prophet said, no, it's going to be 7 years, but it came that it was 70 years. And when Daniel seen that the time was at, he began to repent for the whole nation of Israel. It's time this nation turned back to God and repent and return to God and give him praise and honor. It's time we woke up and realize that the Bible is going to be fulfilled, my friend, whether you or I like it or not. It's coming to pass, and it's upon us every day that we come back. It's just God in his mercy has given us time to repent. It's time that we need to return to God. Return unto him, the one who died for us, the one who brought in and ushered in salvation for the world. The world can't save itself. Only God can bring forth salvation. A lot of people says, well, we crying out for peace. We want all nations. Honey, there's not going to be no such a thing. These renegade countries is not going to come to peace because they don't believe in the sovereignty of the real true God. They've got their statues set up for gods, a calling upon them that has no power as is gods as they think they do. Names that doesn't mean anything because there's only one name, and the Bible declares it that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, even to that bunch of crooks around and about. They got other gods. They got their all these things put out before them. There's no such a thing that a man can kill other people and win seven virgins and a river of honey. That's just a mind-boggling thing, a brainwashed thing that these people. You don't see any of them people strapping bombs on them and going out there. Evidently, they know something other that what they are telling these people is not true. Oh, my friend, realize today, read your Bible. Let me encourage you to read it and see what it has to say about these days that we're in, that we live. Just the other day, yesterday, I believe it was, an earthquake hit China and killed thousands of people. It's been happening all along. It is getting more and more rapidly every time that it comes. It's a little closer by. I'm a friend. It's time that we begin to realize that God has got control over these things. Man can't do anything about it. It's going to come from the refreshing of the Spirit of God to restrain the things that bring forth salvation unto you and I. It's going to take it from from the God himself. Man can't save you. That little feller over there in North Korea wanting to blow up the world, he threatened all these things, but he ain't got control over things. God will let him do what he wants him to do, and when that's over with, he'll annihilate him. He'll wipe him out, along with all the rest of the heathens that are in the world. Honey, there's only time that we've got is to take time for Jesus, give God his praise and honor, looking unto him. The man behind the pulpit may be preaching his heart out, then he may be coming up with something else. I don't know. I'm not their judge, but let me tell you, if he's not preaching the word of God as in its entirety and bringing forth the spirit of truth and teaching you what the word of God says, and he's bringing in other things and all, you need to go to a place where you hear the word of God. You need to be lifted up by the spirit of God and let God come into your life and be your Lord and Master. Be the chief shepherd of your soul, whereby that we are the sheep of his pastures. And he said he would lead us by the still waters and in green pastures where we can lie down in peace and rest with him. That's the only peace and rest we're going to have. As long as this world is standing, my friend, there's not going to be no peace. They cry out peace and peace. But let me tell you something. When they all cry out peace and peace and then safety, it's going to be a sudden destruction going to come upon the world, and all of those heathens that think that they've done these great things is going to fall by the wayside, and they're going to be cut off from from God and all of his splendors. I want you to think about it. Where would you be today if God didn't have mercy on you? I want you to know that if through the mercy of God you have what life you have, and he was the one that gave it to you, and he's the only one that can take it. The devil can't kill you. He can cause you all kinds of problems because God will let him do it to try to wake you up to reality and let you know that God is is your only hope. He will bring you through. He'll raise a standard up against the flood of the devil brings forth, but you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to believe in him. You're going to have to know what he has in store for you. You're going to have to trust in the Almighty God for your salvation and for the very things that you need. When it comes time that this old world is going to be teeter-tottering, and it's almost upon us, my friend. The money is gone. They're printing funny money out there now by the billions. And the money's going down the drain. They're trying to get a one-world government situation set up to worry in that they'll think they'll have it made. But my friend, that these things is only coming, and they're going to lead us into a annihilation, a destruction, because God's going to rain fire down upon all of them that forsaken him, and upon the sinner, the ungodly people, the adulterers, the homosexuals, and all of them that had forgotten God and turned away from him. He's going to rain fire down upon them as such as never been before. And troubles is going to be such as the world has never known. You need to turn to God today. Let me encourage you. Turn your heart to God, seeking after the kingdom of God before it's too late. It's time we begin to realize that he is our only hope. He is the salvation of the soul. He is the creator of this world, and he can destroy it anytime he gets ready. My friend, the time is running out. It's coming close to the time and the day of our Lord. And whenever he's going to come in the eastern skies, and every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. But them that are prepared to meet the Lord and with all of his splendor and his glory and their sins beneath the blood of Jesus, calling upon the name of the Lord and had repented, the graves that them are sleeping in is going to open up, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that remain to be alive shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortality, and we shall go up to meet the Lord, and there shall we forever be with the Lord. Do you want to make that trip, that journey into the kingdom of God, to meet him in the clouds of glory? Or do you want to set hen be them that it runs to the caves and into the rocks and cry out to them to hide us from him that sits upon the throne and the wrath of the living God? Which is going to be? The opportunity is now knocking at your door. The opportunity is yet available. But when that day comes, you'll run to the rocks and the mountains and the end of the caves and throw all your wealth in there and everything. But it's going to be too late, my friend, because your time has run out. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You may not have tomorrow to live. I may not. But I want you to know to go to sleep here and to wake up over there, life would just begin. I don't care your age or how old you might be or whatever, but if we come to the place of repentant life, and life had just begun in the kingdom of God, if we go to sleep in this side of eternity and wake up in the kingdom of God, life would just begin. In a place of wherein that there's tranquility, love and peace and forevermore. But if you die and go into the kingdom of the God of this world, in hell, in other words, the Bible says that's where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and crying out for thirst for water and to being tormented into the flames. It's your choice, my friend. I've made my election. I've chose to serve the Lord, and as many others have also. But what about you? Is time running out on you? If you're going to put it out one more day because you want to go visit something else, you got one more flame you want to flame? That flame may be the last. It may be the next flame you have. You wake up in hell as the rich man did and asking for water. Someone to touch, to dip their finger in the water and come and cool your tongue, for you're tormented in these flames. My friend, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. We need to realize we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon him, and repent for the things that we have done in this life, that we may be forgiven, in which he will forgive us if we come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, calling upon the name of the Lord in repentance. We can have that blessed hope in Christ Jesus. Just raising your hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and going out there and doing whatever you've been doing all along, my friend, ain't going to get it. You'll die in your sins, and it's not going to be that. It's not going to be salvation through any other way except repentance. When Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance has got to come, my friend. It's got to come from the heart, the very thing. Turn aside from the wicked ways and all the things of this world, cleaving unto the horns of the altar, calling upon the name of the Lord, and let him come into your life and be your Lord and Master. Turn loose of the things in this world that you think is so important in dragging you into the domains of hell. I mean, you got to turn loose. You can't serve God and the devil too. It's no middle road. There's no gray area. It's either with the Lord or you're going to be cast into hell with the devil. So it's up to you. It's time that we take time out of our daily life and give God some praise in that precious name of Jesus, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. And let him come into our life, and let him be that what we have, that we can give him praise and honor and glory, that we might look to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. And we give him the praise and the glory for all that he has blessed us with. He came and died for you, that you can live for him. He died that you could have life, and that life more abundantly. Don't mean that you're going to have a Cadillac or all these things that this world has to offer. He wants to give you life eternally. He wants to give you that which you cannot achieve without him. He wants to give you the ultimate things, and that's the crown of life. Life eternally, my friend, whereby that the scripture teaches us that in heaven that John seen a pure river of life, and on each side of it grow the trees that bear fruits in its season, that we could eat thereof, the tree of life in the midst of it. Oh, my friend, would it be wonderful to know that there's a place that God has prepared for you, and you're a part of that kingdom? Are you wondering about, well, Lord, am I going to make it, or am I going? If you got to wonder whether you are saved or not, my friend, as chances are, you're not. And when you're calling upon somebody else, relying upon some man to get you into the kingdom of God in this world, then you're not saved. You haven't repented. The preacher can't save you. The man over there in Italy and the Vatican can't save you. Or none of them other people can save you. It only comes through Jesus Christ and Him that died for you and me on Calvary's cross, through His precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Have you ever thought about when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? There had to be some blood shed for God taking animals there, and He taken the skins of them and made Adam and Eve clothes to wear. Fig leaves wasn't good enough because there was no blood shed. But He slew the animals and made them skins of clothing for their clothing. My friend, because there was shedding of blood, and from then on there was animal sacrifice coming on up till Jesus came in the world, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God that He was going to come in the flesh and die for this world of sin and for all of us in corruption, that He came, and it was fulfilled there on Calvary's cross. Days before, they was hollering out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, save now." They wanted to take Him and make Him king because He had fed the 5,000 there with 5 little fish and a couple of loaves of bread. But He is the bread of life, and you can feast upon Him by reading the Word, my friend, and let it come into you. Fill your heart with His blessings, and salvation can only come through Jesus Christ. You can't get it no other place. You can't go to the store and buy it. You can't go down there and let the preacher pull it out of his pocket and give it to you. I can't give it to you, no other man. But Jesus can bring forth salvation for your miserable soul as well as He did for mine. I was miserable. Didn't realize why I was so miserable until I come face to face with God and by reading His Word and letting that which my mother taught me about come to be a reality in my life. And I began to realize that how miserable I was. I couldn't sleep. I didn't want to do nothing but just run, run, run. But my friend, today, you can't outrun God. You cannot get away from Him. Even if you make your home in the depths of the sea, He'll command the serpent to bite you. Even if you fly to the highest top of the mountain, He'll cast you down. He's everywhere. He knows where you're at. And my friend, He has desired in His heart to save you from the sins of this world, to bring you into peace with God. But it's up to you. He's not going to make you do it. But my friend, when it comes time to face the end time, and when you're cast into hell, you'll wish you had it. But it'll be too late then. As it was in the days of Noah, it was too late. I don't doubt in my mind that there was a prayer meeting on every hilltop. But it was too late because they had 120 years to be prepared there and get their heart right, as Moses was preaching unto them that God was going to bring a flood. And I'm preaching unto you, my friend, God's going to destroy this world with a blaze of fire. And it's time that you get your heart right with Him in order to miss the final destruction that He's going to bring upon the sinner and the ungodly, and all of them that committeth adultery, and all of them that takes pleasure in all these here pleasures of the world, and them that forgotten God, they're going to be annihilated, and God's going to cast them into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you want to make it into the kingdom of God and have peace with Him, today may be the last opportunity you have. It's time that we take time out from our daily routine and give God some time. Oh, you say, well, I pay my tithes. Yeah, but how many times do you go to church? How many hours do you spend reading the Word of God? How much do you give Him on that and everything? Going to church an hour and a half on Sunday morning and maybe 2 hours on Wednesday is not even a tenth of your time. You may give a tenth of your earnings. But God wants your whole life. He wants your whole soul, mind, and body. He wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth, giving Him praise and honor. He don't want a people that is just a sooner. He's sooner to turn over into bed and go back to sleep as he had to get up and go to church. He don't want them there to be wishy-washy. He wants them to be faithful. There's many today that are unfaithful, but yet and still they say, I'm a Christian. As my wife was saying a while ago, if you was arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove you guilty? The potter went out and he makes a pot and he fires it, he brings it in and he puts a substance on it, they call it glaze, and then he put it through the fire, and when all that glaze covers that pot inside and out, covers up all the little leaks and the places in it and everything, and when it's brought out of the fire that time and cleaned and wiped off, the potter can see his own reflection. That's what God's wanting to make you, honey, a vessel to honor the potter, and the reflection of Jesus Christ come into your life, that others may see Him in your life, and they too may come and worship Him in spirit and truth. But what is your decision today? I don't know. I hope it's to choose Jesus. I hope it's to choose righteousness unto God. I hope it's that you pray and seek after the kingdom of God. I hope that you'll repent. Give God praise and honor. That's my hope. That's my desire. My wife mentioned about helping us with the finance. It would be appreciated. But my friend, to know that someone listened to this broadcast and taking Jesus into their life and been born again would be worth more than all the money in the world. But I want you to know, you may fool me some of the time, but you ain't going to fool God no the time. You might write me and said, Brother Compton, I got out on my knees and prayed and sought the Lord, and I'm a Christian now. Honey, I hope it will be, but I hope you be telling the truth, because God knows the difference. I don't know. I may not ever see you this side of eternity, but God knows where you're at. He knows the very life that you live. He knows the words that you speak, whether they be true or false. My friend, don't write a preacher on a broadcast somewhere or another and tell him that all these things of good that he might want to hear. It's pleasant to the ears, but if you don't really mean it, my friend, you ain't doing nothing but sealing your soul into the kingdom of the devil, and you're sowing the wrong seed. You may fool that preacher, but you ain't going to fool God. He knows your heart, and He's going to be the one we're going to have to answer to. You're going to have to answer to me. You're going to have to answer to the Almighty God. Jesus is His name, and we're going to have to praise Him and look to Him and give Him praise and glory for all that He has blessed us with, and looking to Him in Jesus' precious name. We just thank Him today for His blessing that He has placed upon us, and we give Him honor and glory, because, my friend, I could testify the things that God has blessed me with. Many people do, but it's for the purpose to lift up the name of Jesus. He healed me, and He's kept me by His grace. He's protected me many times when the devil had tried to wipe me out, but God raised a standard up and saved me and brought me forth victoriously. My friend, today, God is on the throne, and He has control over all these things that are happening. And you might say, well, why does He let these things happen to good people? I don't know those people's lives, but the thing of it is that He said it lets it rain on the just and the unjust. The devil is the one came out to seek and destroy, to kill and to lame and persecute. He came out, but you follow Him into the road, down the road of destruction, and not realizing that He's the one that's doing all of the dirty work, and you blame it on God. Shame on you. Shame on you for saying, where was God when all these things happened? He's right where you put Him, my friend. If you've got Him in your life, He's there in your heart. He's in your life. But if you put Him on the back shelf somewhere or another and said there's no such a thing, then every April Fool's Day, the first day of April, that's your day. Because only a fool would say that there is no God. So you have one day at least, but God has got eternity. And he is eternity from one to the other, from the beginning to the end. And he's all in the middle. Where are you standing today? Is your righteousness of God, or is it looking unto this world to be your God? Because the God of this world is seeking, destroy, and to, oh, he may let you think that you're doing real great, but he gets you up to the point of no return, and he'll snatch the rug out from under, and you'll fall headlong into hell. Is that the kind of God you want to serve, or is that the kind you want to shun? Cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Let him come into your life, that whereby that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, there's only one way, my friend, and that's through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father except by him. Oh, no man cometh unto him unless the Spirit draweth him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. You are the salt of the earth. Is your life letting people be thirsty enough to call upon the name of the Lord? Or have your salt done lost its savior? Oh, if it's done lost its savior, all it's fit for is to be cast out and trampled underfoot. Oh, my friend, listen, read your Bible. Don't take my word for it. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe what the apostles and the prophets of old has wrote unto us, if you believe the word of God, then read it. Read it. Really sit down and read it and try to get and ask God for the understanding of it. Try to get a hold of it as God would have you to get a hold of it and believe what it says. Don't take my word or nobody else's word. Read it for yourself. Then you can be truly know what the word of God says, and then you'll go accordingly. And you'll be fit to enter into the kingdom of God by believing upon him that sacrificed his life and gave you life, the opportunity for life, through his death on the cross. If he'd have died and hadn't resurrected, your religion or my faith would be in vain. But he resurrected. When he told that bunch of Pharisees, he should destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And they said, well, it was 70-something years it took for him to build the temple. He's going to raise it up in 3 days. He wasn't speaking about the temple that they would come to worship in. He's speaking about that temple that the flesh he dwelt in. And it all came to pass. And he rose on the third day. And he's alive and alive forevermore. I just praise him today and thank him for his grace in all things, giving him the power, glory and power. May God bless you, my friend. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Lord Jesus, bless and undertake. Touch the ears to hear and the heart to receive. And we'll praise you for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are